On the Marquette University Golden Eagles Sports Network. From Learfield, welcome to Marquette Thursdays. Live from Motor Bar and Restaurant at the Harley-Davidson Museum. Presented by Aurora Healthcare, the healthcare choice of Marquette Athletics. Also brought to you by these Marquette Athletics champion partners. Pepsi Zero Sugar, the official soft drink of Marquette University. Game Day deserves Pepsi. And by Wintrust, Wisconsin's bank, the official bank of Marquette.
We are live from Motor Bar and Restaurant at the Harley-Davidson Museum for Marquette Thursday's radio show, presented by Aurora Healthcare, the healthcare choice of Marquette Athletics. Thank you all for joining us tonight, and thank you, Coach. How are you doing?
Great. Welcome to the show, Layla. Excited to have you.
So, big win this past Tuesday. Marquette held Creighton to 23 first half points. What are you liking about the team's defense?
Well, I thought our guys really took on a defensive identity. We struggled to guard them the last time we played them in Omaha, so it was a real point of emphasis for us. You know, our guys, they just took a lot of pride in every possession as a group, and that makes a huge difference. You could see their connectivity. We were getting our hands on the basketball. Caden Hamilton came in the game when he subbed in. He really gave us a lift guarding the pick and roll, which is a big part of their offense. And then the guys, you know, they got deflections and they got out on the other end. So it's nice to see NJ throwing a ball up to Chase Ross and dunking the ball, and that's how we want to play.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. It was a bit of LeBron D. Wade energy when he did that. Did you feel that as well?
For sure. And then after the game, they asked NJ, they said, which play was better, your windmill dunk or the pass that you made to Chase? And NJ's smart. He always gives the right answer. So he said, yeah, the pass for sure, because when you get two teammates connected around a special play, then that's exactly what basketball is all about.
Yes, so entertaining. And Royce matched a career high with 19 points and 7 rebounds. How has his recent performance had an impact on the team?
He's here somewhere. Yeah. Tonight is Royce Parham's night. I think he's in the back, meeting everyone. What a great crowd here tonight. Thank you guys all for coming. Great to see you. It's great to be back. It's been a couple weeks where we've been on the road. Yeah, I told Royce before the game, and this is a dream. Any player wants to hear this. I said, we need you to shoot 15 to 20 times in this game. And he only ended up getting 11 shot attempts. If you add a couple in where he got fouled, he shot a couple more times. But still, there was the aggressiveness that he had. And I said that in front of his teammates because, you know, subliminally, I'm also telling those guys, get the guy the ball in position where he can attack. And how about this, everybody? Royce is dunking the ball more. That's always a good thing, right? We like dunks. So, he's a little bit springier lately, and Todd Smith deserves a lot of credit. Our strength coach, Royce and him, working hard together. You know, Royce is only 19 years old. He turned 19 at the end of July, so he's still on the relatively young end, and his body's still growing and developing and emerging. And I think with each game, you see maturity. You see an understanding that he can do it, and you see more and more aggressiveness, which we need.
Yes, I noticed those dunks as well. So entertaining. Nigel scoring often gets a spotlight, but his assist numbers keep rising. And he had an 8 in the last game. How important has his playmaking been to the offense, and what does that say about his growth as a complete guard?
How about Nigel James, everybody? He's a special player, and, you know, we're watching a lot of video of Seton Hall because that's our next opponent, and that game was on December 30th. And he and I were watching together today, and we just marveled. I said, it's been less than a month since this game, but how much have things changed for you, and how much better are you? How much more confident are you? And really now this is your team. Like, you've kind of taken over from a leadership standpoint. But his passing's been terrific. It's always a fine line. We've talked about this on the show before. Between passing and scoring as a point guard, Tyler went through that evolution where he had to learn, when should I pass, when should I shoot. He was kind of almost too unselfish. NJ, you know, he's a really good natural scorer. So earlier in the year, you know, it was about when do I create opportunities for my teammates. Who can I create opportunities for that are going to take advantage of those opportunities? Because I can tell you as a former point guard, it is frustrating to make a lot of good passes and then them not get paid off with baskets. But he's just getting better and better. And the best thing he's doing is he is instilling confidence in the guys around him. So he's being a multiplier for them. not only with the way that he passes to them, but what you're seeing more often is eyeball contracts, a connection between the two of them, pointing at each other, understanding that we're trying to go make the play together, and he's leading the way with that.
Yes, for sure. And I can tell his confidence when he's playing. Like, how do you feel about that?
NJ's confidence?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say you could add everyone else's together, and then you have his. He's got a natural way about him where he's not afraid of any moment. We knew that it was going to take a little bit of time for him to adjust to college, but, man, he's made that adjustment, and now he's playing like, you know, he's better than anyone else out there on the floor, and that's the mentality you got to have. And we love it, you know, so now it's about that really affecting his teammates, and as a team, us taking on that personality more and more. I think that will come with the coming weeks and as he gets his feet under him even more. But his confidence has been terrific. I think it goes hand in hand, Layla, with clarity of mind. You know, confidence and clarity, presence. You know, you're not really focused on anything other than the play that you're on and trying to go get a Marquette team score or a Marquette team stop.
He's already playing amazing, but what more would you like to see from him?
Well, I think he's got a ton of room for growth on the defensive end. He's got a lot of aggressiveness on defense, and he's got a lot of quickness, but sometimes he almost overreacts to plays, and then that puts him behind the next play. And then there's other times where he, like any freshman, gets caught spectating on defense and gets caught relaxing a little bit. So he's got a ton of area for growth there. On the offensive end, he shot the ball well. He's finished the ball pretty well, but I think he can keep getting better and better in both of those areas. He's had some really good assist-to-turnover games, and then he's had some other games where he's had more turnovers than he wants to have. But as his coach, it's my job to have a high standard for him. But he's been terrific. I mean, I think as good as any freshman in our league or around the country.
What was your reaction in the moment when you saw that incredible windmill dunk?
Well, it's funny because, you know, he likes to dunk, and I've seen him dunk a lot. He dunks a lot in practice and in warm-ups. And I learned, you know, many, many years ago, I overheard Chris Paul, the great point guard. He said, save your jumps. And so I'm always telling NJ when he's dunking in practice, like in layup lines and stuff, save your jumps. Save them for when they really matter. Well, that windmill, that's a time to use it. And it's so much fun to see our fans and his teammates react. And even his reaction was really cool too, like just his demonstrated passion for the play that he made.
Yes, I love the energy when that happened. Marquette fans, there's nothing like a sea of blue and gold when you're catching your Golden Eagles live and in color. Get tickets all season, even if it's last minute, at Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Marquette Golden Eagles. Hear more from Coach about the Marquette team after the break. We'll be right back with more from Motor Bar and Restaurant, home of Marquette Thursdays. Tonight's interview with head coach Shaka Smart is brought to you by Bergstrom Automotive. Bergstrom Automotive, driving Wisconsin forward and proud to stand with Marquette basketball. So Stevie Mitchell was in attendance last game to receive the Mikkel Hill Award, and he and Oso became the first back-to-back winner since 1969 through 71. What kind of example does that set for your current players?
Well, not only the fact that they won the award, but who those guys were over the course of their careers. I can't think of two better representatives of Marquette basketball than Oso Iguodaro and Stevie Mitchell. And it's no question about that. And then it's no coincidence when you put those guys together, you know, they came together because they were kindred spirits. The support they have, I can tell you so many stories of Oso helping Stevie and Stevie helping Oso, and them making each other better in the games, even through just emotional support. And, you know, the success that both those guys have had on the court and off the court, how much that's tied to each other and their friendship and their connection to each other. So it's a good humbling lesson for us, is that, you know, when you have guys like that and you can put more than one of them together, that's how you create a really special team and a really special culture. And then when you lose those guys, you better find a way to create that again through, whether it's through recruiting or however that is on your team, because it's not just naturally going to happen. But it was awesome to have Stevie back. You know, he's been playing in the G League, the NBA G League. Just had his best game of the year recently. It's fun to follow those games. It's a very, very different style of basketball than Marquette. Not as many fans there. You know, he's traveling on buses and commercial flights, and it's a different life. But it's good that he's back healthy, because I think a lot of our fans know, but if, in case you don't, he had surgery after the season. He was banged up for the second half of the season last year. And he was out from the end of the season all the way up through about a month ago. And so for him to be cleared and playing is a real step in the right direction. It's a lot of fun seeing him back out there.
I'm glad he could bounce back from the surgery. You mentioned the stories between Oso and Stevie. What's your favorite one that comes to mind automatically?
Well, my favorite story that comes to mind between those guys, and I think some of you have heard me talk about this, we have a lot of pictures of post-game hugs between our players, and particularly after wins. You know, and if you watch them closely after the games, if we win the game, you know, there's like really, really, you know, real embraces. And the embrace says, hey, thank you. I couldn't have done this without you. You couldn't have done this without me. We just went and did something special together in front of our fans. And so there was a game, Stevie's sophomore year, Oso's junior year. We were playing Villanova. They ended up, I think, finishing 10-10 in the league that year. So it's not that they were necessarily the best team in the league, but they were still a good team with a lot of talent. In fact, some guys back from a team that a couple years before or the year before had gone to the Final Four. And Oso was struggling. I mean, he was really, really struggling. Yet Oso is so smart, as is Stevie, and those guys can get in their own heads sometimes and they can overthink things. So he was really struggling. He was overthinking. He was a little bit tentative. And Stevie just kept encouraging him, and he kept encouraging him, and he kept challenging him, and he kept, you know, physical affirmations, patting him on the back or kicking him in the butt or putting his arm around him. And he just stayed with it and stayed with it and stayed with it. And in the last 6 minutes of the game, Oso became Oso, and he went and he won us the game. You know, he made a bunch of big, big plays. Did you know right now in the NBA he's in the 98th percentile for the opponent's defensive points per possession?
That's
the type of elite player he is on defense at that level. Well, that's what he did on this night down the stretch. Plus, he went and got us some baskets, and we won the game, and it was a close game. It was not one of our best scoring games, but we won the game, and then I have in my office the embrace between those two after the game, and it is a real, like, solid hug. And it's just one example of Oso couldn't have been that even close to that without Stevie. And then obviously without that, we wouldn't have won the game.
I love how supportive they are with each other from what you explained it as. So I saw, like, in the highlight of Nigel's windmill, Stevie is like jumping up and down in the background. What is it like his impact and his presence back on campus?
Well, I said this after the game. I think I could really feel Stevie's impact and Dr. Lovell's. Once a year we wear gold, or I wear a gold shirt, and the guys wear gold more than once a year, but it's a gold hour where we're focusing on that color in the name of, you know, cancer research and raising money. We kind of tie it in with the week that the National Association of Basketball Coaches does Coaches versus Cancer, and could feel those guys, and Stevie's energy definitely impacted our first half defense. He didn't want to give the pregame talk, and I said, Stevie, you got to give the pregame talk. He said, I really don't know what to say. I said, say whatever you want to say. And he came in there, and, you know, he didn't say a lot, but what he said was really powerful, and that went a lot into us holding them to 23 points in the first 20 minutes.
And I saw in an interview he said that he watches every game. Like, I felt like I could relate with him in that sense, because I'm a sophomore, and freshman year I would go to all the games, so I just love how dedicated he is to the team still.
Well, in fact, he watches this show.
Really?
He might be watching
right now.
Oh, wow.
That's a dedicated fan.
Yeah. In fact, you guys might remember this. It was one or two shows ago. We had Adrian Stevens was here, and I said, hey, I don't want Stevie to get mad if he hears this, but I think Adrian has a chance to be that good or better. Stevie was actually listening to the show, and he texted me in that moment. So obviously I'm not looking at my phone while I'm on the show, but when we got done with the show, I looked at my phone. And then I wrote him back, and he didn't respond for like 3 days, so I think he was mad at me. But You know, listen, when these guys leave Marquette, they don't leave Marquette. You understand? Like, you guys know that. I mean, you guys know that better than anyone. There's something about this place that stays with you. And I'll tell you this, you know, it's really, really challenging because the players here are so incredibly well supported in a lot of ways, but especially by our fans. And so when you leave that environment and you no longer have, not that the fans don't care about you anymore, but you know, you're somewhere else, you're playing for another team, you're not around, you're not playing in these games, there's a void there. And you can ask any former player that used to play here, and they will tell you that. And that's why, you know, at the games when they put on the Jumbotron, whether it's Travis Diener or Steve Novak or, you know, Bo Ellis or someone, that's a big deal to those guys. You know, that's meaningful because, you know, for that 5 to 10 seconds, it kind of takes them back to when they were playing here and what they were doing, you know, making Marquette win and making this place such a special environment for basketball.
I love the relationships between the guys. So you talked several times before the game about the commitment to growth from your younger players. Looking back at Stevie's early development at Marquette, what are some of his traits you're seeing in the young guys now, and what's the key to staying committed to that process?
Well, I think Stevie was probably the best we've ever had at embracing EGBs. And, you know, he was in a category of his own with that. But he also, he had, if you ask Stevie, how challenging was your freshman year in terms of handling not going in the game as much? You guys need to understand, Stevie, I think he played like 11 minutes a game as a freshman. So that means three quarters of the game he was sitting and watching. And so that was really challenging for him. But learning to be part of something larger, learning to come in the game and be someone that needed to give a spark as opposed to someone who started the game. And then once he got a starting spot, he never looked back. You know, he never didn't start again because that's the type of competitor that he was. But I think for our current freshmen, whether it's Michael Phillips, Adrian Stevens, Josh Clark, a redshirt freshman, our three redshirts now, Ian Miletic, Nash Walker, who's been really good in his first month here, Sheik Pearson, obviously NJ. For these guys, it's learning I'm part of something larger than myself. I definitely want to bring my own individual flair and personality and individual ego, but I'm also part of a larger team ego, and the more energy that I can give those around me, the better the group will be. Stevie really bought into that, and I would say by the time he got to the middle of his freshman year, then he started to become special in that way.
You mentioned EGBs with Stevie. Do you have a particular EGB that's your favorite?
I say floor slaps, you know, and this is a really interesting thing because, you know, sometimes it's easy to slap the floor and be fired up when you've scored, when you're on a 10-0 run, you know, and you scored a bunch of points. But, you know, slapping the floor, obviously, it gets you down in the stance. It's something that connects the guys on the floor with the guys on the bench. And, you know, I really appreciate the fact that in our home games, we have the kill count, and we have the fans when we're in the kill zone getting into it. By the way, against Creighton, we put up a top 10 number, which is 9 kills, which is, you know, we have these top 10 guests. And that's not easy to do against a team like that. So if you ever want to come watch us practice, I always extend that invitation. A lot of people in here have before. But one of the things you'll see in our practice gym is these top 10 rankings. We have top 10 deflections. Over the last 5 years, we have top 10 kills. We have top 10 defensive points per possession. So in our last game, we put up a number that will go up on the wall, and we got to keep doing it. We got to do it again. We got to do it again because that's what wins games.
Yes, for sure. We have Royce Parham on the show tonight. I see him in the crowd over there. You often talk about personal development for player development. How has Royce grown as a person here at Marquette, and what has been some of the biggest changes you have seen from him?
Well, when he got here, he was 17 years old. So, I mean, literally coming in as a youngster, you know, just needing to grow. He's gotten so much stronger, him and Todd Smith. And, you know, he's got a lot more room for growth there. I think his assertiveness, his aggressiveness, as a teammate, he's gotten so much more connected with his teammates. One thing you should ask him about is what he does pregame the night before with NJ and Adrian and Demarius. They've got a nice little club, the four of them, to work together to prepare for upcoming games. You know, one of the things that we started doing, he and I, is he texts me every night about two players that he positively impacted on our team. He never really would have thought along those lines a couple years ago, but he's really growing as a leader. And the fact is, if you want to be one of the best players, then you have to be a leader too. You know, you can't just be this guy that lives in a phone booth and just scores the basketball and doesn't really focus on anything else. And he's really grown in that way. I'm so proud of him. But the exciting thing as well is he's got so much more room for growth. I mean, he's a guy that, in my opinion, could eventually lead the Big East in scoring. He's got to be even more aggressive. He's got to keep getting better shooting the ball outside, obviously, to do that. He's got to get to the foul line more. But he's got that type of skill set, and we just want to keep helping him get better and better.
Yes, I love that, Coach. Stick around to hear from Royce Parham after this break.
This is Marquette Thursdays from Motor Bar and Restaurant at the Harley-Davidson Museum, presented by Aurora Healthcare, the healthcare choice of Marquette Athletics. Tonight's Marquette player interview is brought to you by Wintrust, Wisconsin's bank, the official banking partner of Marquette University and home to Marquette Checking with free ATMs nationwide. Marquette fans, please give a warm welcome to Royce Parham. Thanks for being with me, Royce. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Good, good. So let's start talking about one of the teammates you're more close with, your relationship with Demarius. You guys go way back. Talk about your time in high school and how you both kind of came to Marquette.
So he committed way before me, and my like junior year of high school, I was kind of just like wanted to switch schools. So he was at a prep school. We were both committed at the like time, so it was like a perfect school for me to go to. It was a good experience, and I kind of felt like the college experience there because you live on campus, you walk to class, it's all that stuff. And just him just being there for me, he's basically like a brother to me. Like, I'm an only child, so I've never really had someone like with me like that. So he's been a great mentor. He's been a great help for me just throughout my whole basketball career or like time with him. So, yeah.
You guys were quite successful at Western Reserve as well, weren't you?
Yeah, we ended up being the 15 seed and winning the national championship. So that was a crazy experience, and I'm just so happy about that.
On top of this is more close to home, but your mom, Kim, is a Penn State legend. How did she help you kind of get acclimated to the game of basketball and teach you a couple things?
From as long as I can remember, I've had a basketball in my hand. She's my whole life just driven me places, spent money for training, travel, food, all that stuff. So she's just been there my whole life, and I kind of just want to be like her. And I kind of went, like, she was a first-team All-American, I think, in her conference. So I want to beat that. I want to be that in the future. And she made it to the Sweet 16, so I'm going to beat that, too, while I'm at Marquette.
We like that. Yeah, there we go. There we go. So you've grown a lot this season. I think under Shaka, the guys that play the four spot have a lot of growth between their freshman and sophomore year, from J. Lou, Omax, Jop, now you. What's been the biggest thing for you between last season and this season that you feel like you've grown?
Just confidence. Just like believing in myself more, and then coach believing in me more. Like, basically just letting, like, when all of our coaches let you know that, like, you like can do this, these guys can't guard you, you can compete with all these guys even though they're fifth, six-year seniors. It just gives me confidence to basically just go out there and basically just play my game and do what I do.
No doubt about that. You've mentioned the Big East. You've been through a season of the Big East. How is it going up against those opponents for a second season?
I feel like, especially this season, like with the bigger role, I'm just taking more pride in just being there for my team, being the best on defense that I can be for my team, and then just all around being a leader for like the younger guys around my team.
Absolutely. And another thing where you grew this summer, you were a finalist for the USA U19 team. Talk about that experience a little bit. How did you get involved, and what was that process like being in the trials?
So randomly one day over the summer, coach calls me and he's like, yeah, you made the team. I'm like, whoa. Because I all throughout high school, I was never really ranked high. I never went to any of these crazy camps, these USA stuff. So just being able to be there and then just letting people know that, like, I can play with these guys. And the whole experience was great because there was a bunch of college coaches there. There was a bunch of NBA scouts there. So basically just being able to just show off my game and just basically have them look out for me in the future. So hopefully.
Yeah, from Pittsburgh, you're a big Steelers fan, but you're also an Oklahoma City Thunder fan. How does that connect to Pittsburgh?
So we don't really have a basketball team there besides Pitt. And I'm not really from Philly. I'm not close to Philly, so I'm not like a Philly, like 76ers fan. So when I was young, I really liked the color blue, actually.
Okay.
And there was a blue team, and I really liked Russell Westbrook for some reason. I don't know why. And then basically my whole life, I just stuck with that. Like, my room back home when I was younger was all OKC. I actually met some of the players, some of the coaches, and that was a great experience. So it just happened, basically. I just kind of just stuck with the team my whole life.
Not a bad year for you.
Yeah.
Steelers getting a new head coach. How you feeling heading into next season with Mike McCarthy?
Very interested about it, you know. It's something different because we've had Tomlin for, what, 20-plus years or something like that. So, you know, it's just good to get a change. And then also Aaron Rodgers, like, retiring too. You know, just get a new change of quarterback too. So just basically just a new, like, landscape for our team. So hopefully we stay good.
Coach had touched on it a bit, but how do you feel like you've grown the most as a person here at Marquette? Take the game of basketball out of it. Where have you grown internally?
Internally, just, like, speaking up more. And then also just my body. Like, I feel like I've, like, gained so much more muscle. I'm a lot stronger. I'm moving better. I'm just in way better shape because we have such a great, like, strength program there that just helps us build every single day. So that's a big part of it.
With strengths, what's the toughest thing that Todd has put you through?
If you ask some of my teammates, the VersaClimber program, we wake up at, like, 7 a.m., be on it for, like, 40 minutes before lift, and then have to go lift and then practice after that. It was just a crazy just experience doing all that. But we got through it.
You did. You're here. Being one of the leaders and speaking up vocally more, you have a pregame ritual with Demarius, Nigel, and Adrian. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So recently, like, we've been starting to watch film before every single game and just watch the players because normally, like, when we watch film, it's all the highlights. So you think they're, oh, like, they're all this and that and that. But then, like, when you fully watch the games, you're just like, okay, we can expose this right here. He is not good at doing that. It's just little things, and then that kind of helps us. And we've basically just been scoring more points after that. So we're just going to keep doing that. We're probably going to do that tomorrow before the game, too.
In your specific matchup when you're playing in the paint, what do you look for against a guy? What tells you what you can exploit in the game?
Most of the time, I just use my strength. I just try and get to my right hand. And if I can't get to my right hand and they try and cut me off, I just spin. And then I just try and get athletic. Like, for example, last game, I had a nice spin dunk. I think I had like five spin layups last game. So just basically just getting to my moves and then just playing patient in the paint.
With that patience, you have been rocking the rim a lot more in recent games. And I know Marquette fans appreciate that as well. But what... Yeah. Is that a mindset thing, or like when you're just on the floor, you're like, okay, I can't get my right, but I can do a spin move and slam. What do you look for to get up and attack the rim like that?
It's just mindset and just me being more aggressive. And then, like I said before, like my body's transformed so much. I feel so more athletic. I'm jumping a lot higher, and I feel a lot lighter. So it's just helping me just get on that rim, basically, and get more dunks for our team.
Absolutely. So you had a season-high tying 19 points on just 11 shots the other night against Creighton. You're super efficient from the floor. You're fifth in the conference right now at 53% from the floor in the last five games. You're 61%. What's then the biggest thing for you in terms of maintaining that consistency?
Just working every day in the gym, you know, taking my, like, basically not speeding myself up, like playing patient, pivoting, all that stuff, and then just trusting my coach because he trusted me. So he allows me to just go out there, play free, and then just have confidence to go score.
You mentioned playing free. How does that help free yourself up mentally and physically just to go out there and play?
Because I feel like early in the year, especially like I wasn't playing as aggressive. I was kind of worrying about mistakes. I was worried about not messing up, not doing a turnover, not doing this stuff. But now I'm just playing free. I'm not really looking at the bench anymore to see if I messed up or not. So, yeah, just playing confident and then just not – and basically having a growth mindset to just go after the next thing.
No doubt. If you could go back to your first day in college to now, if you could see that version of you again, what's the biggest piece of advice you'd give first day at Marquette, Royce Parham?
Just keep working, because especially last year I felt really unconfident. There was points where I'm like, wow, like I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can play here. But I would just tell myself, keep working. Like, you'll get to that point. You've basically been playing basketball your whole life, and you know how to impact the game in any way possible.
Absolutely. Royce, thank you so much for being here this evening. Great to hear from you.
Of course. Thank you. Thank
you
guys for showing up.
Keep up the consistent play. Motor Bar and Restaurant at the Harley-Davidson Museum is the place to be for all Marquette fans this season. Make sure to join us on select Thursday nights throughout the season to hear from head coach Shaka Smart and his players. Our next show is February 5th when Trey Norman will join us here at Motor Bar and Restaurant. Bergstrom Automotive, driven to deliver great guest experiences across Wisconsin, proud to support Marquette basketball. We'll be back after the break with Coach and previewing Seton Hall when we return. This is Marquette Thursdays from Motor Bar and Restaurant at the Harley-Davidson Museum, presented by Aurora Healthcare, the healthcare choice of Marquette Athletics. CareSource is a nonprofit health plan that leads with heart. As part of an ongoing commitment to investing in the people and the communities they serve, they're proud to partner with Marquette Basketball to support Sharp. For every assist made, CareSource will contribute $10 to the Reading with the Golden Eagle program. As of today, Marquette has 338 assists so far this season. Coach, welcome back to the show. You guys get ready to head to New Jersey and face Seton Hall on the road on Saturday. What was the biggest thing you took away from the first time you guys met back in December?
Well, obviously it was a game where at stretches we played really, really well. At one point we led, I believe, a 60-50, 10-point lead. They did a great job erasing the lead. Then we were able to take a lead back, up seven with about 3.5 minutes left. You guys remember that layup that Chase missed, which he's always, you know, pretty predictable to make. They came down and missed, and Ben missed a three at the top of the key that would have stretched it to 10. So at that point, there's less than 4 minutes left in the game. We're in a pretty good position. But Seton Hall outplayed us down the stretch. You know, we had a couple costly plays on our offensive end. And didn't guard the three-point line the way we needed to. They made a three, and we fouled them on a three late in the game, which obviously is a no-no. So a lot of motivation coming from that game. I think for our guys, a lot of things we can take that went well that we can do more of, some things that didn't go as well. They got 20 offensive rebounds. We have to do a better job on the glass. Watching them play last night against Xavier, man, they really ramped up their aggressiveness in the second half of that game. They were down double figures at halftime, and they played lights out in the second half. Scored 56 points, rebounded the heck out of the ball. They turned Xavier over a lot, and they just played like a bully version of basketball that is kind of their calling card when they've been at their best. So we're going to have to go in there and make sure we match their physicality.
No doubt. You guys are two of the top programs in the Big East in thievery and steals per game. What do you got to do to control that advantage on Saturday?
Well, I think take care of the basketball from the standpoint of all the controllable areas. When the ball is passed in bounds, eat the ball, so two hands and 2 feet. Make sure when you do get trapped, you're strong with it. You step through the trap. You attack the trap with three outlets, so there's three different guys you can pass it to. And then, again, when the ball is passed to someone out of a trap, you got to come back and eat it. First half on December 30th, we did a phenomenal job. We had no turnovers in the first half. And, you know, that's the recipe for being able to score a lot on these guys. Second half, we had 8 turnovers, including a costly one with about 1.5 minutes left that they turned into a layup. So when the turnovers occur and then our ability to make sure we sprint back on defense and take away easy baskets is a huge key.
Absolutely. Obviously coming off a great win on Tuesday. What's the mindset that you guys instill in the players in order to maintain that high level of play and that connectivity into Saturday?
Well, I think understanding Royce and the rest of the guys, understanding what went into creating success on Tuesday, it wasn't just like some fluke thing that happened. There's a lot of things that guys grabbed hold of and took ownership of to allow us to play that well. And so, you know, again, we're not necessarily, guys are not robots out there, but at the same time, there are some things that are controllable that we can repeat, we can do again. And that's been the point of emphasis as we've moved into our preparation for Seton Hall. Today's practice, you know, there's a lot of things that we can take from Tuesday, from our last game against Seton Hall, and apply in these next couple of days as we prepare.
We talk a lot about the guys' growth and how the younger guys have slowly elevated their games and become more acclimated. Where have you grown the most this season?
Yeah, I just thought of something I can't say on the air to answer that as the first thing that came into my mind. But I think when you go through challenging times as a coach, you always grow in terms of learning to find other ways, you know, because obviously there's a challenge, there's a problem, and you got to find another way around it. You got to find a solution to it. So it makes you look at things in a different perspective, find different solutions, maybe approach a player in a different way. You know, one of my mentors, Coach Raveling, George Raveling, one of the best coaches to ever do it, he said something to me that I have up in the back of my office door. He said one time a player said to him, "Why can't you love me right?" And so I have that in the back of my door. And so if sometimes we're not coaching these guys in a way that's the most effective or loving them in a way that's the most effective, then we need to be smart and industrious and innovative to come up with the right way to move them in the right direction. And so I think, you know, I've grown in some ways with that, with some specific guys, you know, because you coach the team, Trevor. Coach the team, you tell the team, hey, this is what we're going to do in the game, this is what we're going to do on defense, this is what we're going to do on offense. But at the same time, you're coaching players. You're coaching individual guys. You're coaching Royce Parham. The way you coach Royce Parham is completely different conversation than with Nigel James Jr. I mean, it's night and day different. And so you got to make sure you don't have some cookie-cutter approach. And as you go, especially with the young guys that you haven't coached for several years, like you had Stevie and Cam and Jop by the end of last year, you're learning along the way. So I've grown in a lot of ways with how to coach those guys. And then also, you know, just trying to find ways to different unique combinations to get together to help our team be our best.
Absolutely. You mentioned earlier in that about the challenges and solutions you got to find new answers to. Do you feel like that comes more internally, like through practices and stuff? Or do you see plays happen on live TV and you're like, oh, I like that, I kind of want to use that, or a new way to defend a different sequence?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, you know, when we had Tyler and Oso, Stevie, Cam, those four especially, and Jop, those guys' IQs were so high that you could ask them to do something on the board, you know, diagram something, and they've never done it before, and they could go do it. So you could do more different creative things. Sometimes with younger guys, or maybe even older guys that don't have quite as high of an IQ as those guys did, you can't do as much. You have to be a little more basic. And you got to make sure if you're going to do something in the game, you've practiced it first. But I would say most of the ideas we come up with are a combination of watching maybe what someone else did against a team, like a Seton Hall or a Creighton, and then how can we put our own spin on that works within our system.
No doubt about it, Coach. Looking forward to Saturday in the game when you guys are on the road against Seton Hall. Marquette fans, Buffalo Wild Wings is the official viewing party location for Marquette road games this season. Check out the Golden Eagles watch party schedule at gomarquette.com/BWW. The next watch party of the season will be February 10th at the Brookfield Buffalo Wild Wings Let's Go Sports Bar. We'll be back in a couple minutes to wrap things up here from Motor Bar and Restaurant. This has been Marquette Thursdays from Motor Bar and Restaurant at the Harley-Davidson Museum, presented by Aurora Healthcare, the healthcare choice of Marquette Athletics. Obviously, Coach, we're getting excited about Seton Hall on Saturday, but a couple housekeeping things as we move through the season here. Next week's show, we'll touch on it more, but obviously elephant in the room, National Marquette Day is next weekend, February 7th. We'll be striping out the Feister Forum. Guys, as a school, we sit second in the Big East in attendance. We appreciate all you fans. We need to make sure we stripe out the place next Saturday for National Marquette Day. One of my favorite days of the year. But also, Marcus Howard has had an opening in his schedule overseas. He's going to be in attendance for his jersey retirement on March 1st. Can you talk a little bit about what Marcus has meant to the program? Obviously, he was before your time, but I'm sure you've gotten to know him pretty well.
I've got to know Marcus. I remember Marcus at age 16, and he was playing for the USA national team, 17 and under. And I remember this guy, you know, 5'10", 5'11". You know, he's coming off of screens and rising up, stopping on a dime. And I said, who is this guy from Arizona? And Trevor, you may be too young to remember this, but he skips his senior year in high school and comes here.
I did not know that. Okay.
And that's not easy to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, what he did here from the standpoint of scoring and just the electricity that he brought to the game with the way that he played was unbelievable and, you know, one of a kind. And so it's exciting. You know, he's obviously rewritten the record books from the standpoint of scoring. One thing about Marcus, and I told him this, there's a picture of him from his senior day, and the look on his face, the way that he cares, you know, and cared about this place, and the way that he felt, you know, the reciprocity between him and the fans was a special, special thing. So it's going to be, you know, a really, you know, a cool thing to have him back in the building and have him be able to reconnect with all the fans that saw him score all those thousands of points.
Oh, yeah. I had so many memories of my childhood revolve around number zero and the time he spent here on campus. Well, Coach, thank you so much for being here as always. Looking forward to the game on Saturday. Looking to get a road win, get some milkshakes against Seton Hall. And thank you all again for being here as well. A great, great turnout on this Thursday night. Make sure to join us on select Thursday nights throughout the season to hear from head coach Shaka Smart and his players. Our next show is February 5th when Trey Norman will join us here at Motor Bar and Restaurant on the Harley-Davidson Museum campus. Make sure to tune to the game on Saturday. We'll see you here next week as we get set for National Marquette Day. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. And as always, go Marquette.
This has been Marquette Thursdays, live from Motor Bar and Restaurant at the Harley-Davidson Museum, presented by Aurora Healthcare, the healthcare choice of Marquette Athletics. Also brought to you by these Marquette Athletics champion partners, Pepsi Zero Sugar, the official soft drink of Marquette University. Game Day deserves Pepsi. And by Wintrust, Wisconsin's bank, the official bank of Marquette University. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Marquette University Golden Eagles Sports Network.